Our reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's inspired letter to the Thessalonians, the first letter, the fifth chapter, beginning with verse 9. And he writes to these believers, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." Why did God pick Noah to be the one that would believe in him and have his family build the ark to survive the great deluge? Was there something special about Noah? We know that even after getting out of the ark as a believer, we find him drunk in his tent. Why did God pick Abraham? We know that in Scripture it tells us that Abraham, prior to being called by God to come to the promised land, that prior to that, he worshiped idols, false gods. We know that even after becoming a believer, he lied about who his wife was. Why did God pick Saul, later to be known as Paul? He went around and beat up Christians. Why in the world? What was there something special about this Saul guy from Tarsus that he would select him to be such a great apostle? Why did he pick Mary to be the virgin in the town of Nazareth that got to bear the Christ child? Weren't there other virgins from Nazareth that maybe lived at other times and maybe even in her same day? What was so great and so special about her? But here's the real question. Why has God picked you? Of all people, of all the people that live right now in the world, all around the world and throughout time, why did you get to be a Christian? Why did God decide and to pick you from the pool of humanity and me to know who Christ is? Did he do this to toy with you? Did he do this to kind of mess with your mind a little bit and ultimately frustrate you and make your life difficult? Well, one thing we can say in answering to this question is it certainly has nothing to do with me or you. When we look at our lives, we realize that. It's not as though somehow we're so much better than somebody else. It has nothing to do with that, if we're honest with ourselves. St. Paul gives the answer to the Ephesians when he says this, "In love, God predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ." In love. Not because of something in us, but in his love, his mercy, just undeserved love in his heart. "He chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in his sight." That's amazing. God just looked down into the pool of humanity and out of his love and mercy toward you and me decided to pick us to be believers in Christ, to now make us holy and blameless in his sight, as the text says, through the death of Christ. And so Paul is saying that God has selected you, he has appointed you, is the word that he uses, to come to heaven. I'll just let that soak in for a second. It's amazing, isn't it? God has just appointed you. He has established it. He has set it. The Greek word there means to make something permanent in time and to set it and establish it. God has appointed you. God did not have you brought into this world of faith, into this world and into the kingdom of his grace through faith, Paul is telling us. God didn't have this all done in order to make our lives difficult or to ultimately frustrate us and condemn us at the end of everything, but he has done it instead to save us. He has done it instead to bring us ultimately to heaven. And so, as Paul is saying here, whether you are alive right now in this life, whether you are living a living human being when Christ returns, or whether you've already died and your body is resting in the grave, either way, it's all about going to heaven. All right, so if that's what this Christian faith thing is all about, that God has given you and called you into this, if that's what it's all about, what are we still doing here? Why are we here? Why doesn't God just take us there? Why is it possibly going to take another 70 years for some of you to have that day finally come? Well, your call to faith, your selection by God to be a believer in Christ, is not simply for your personal salvation. That's one of the points Paul is making here. The context of our text is with the impending coming judgment, the imminent return of Christ to this world, which he again uses that phrase we've heard a lot in the last few weeks. He is coming like a thief in the night. So be ready. But then he says at the end of this text, comfort each other and edify one another. One of the reasons that you have been left here now and have not yet gone to heaven is there must be some person in the world that you are intended to help and comfort or to edify as far as they're getting to heaven themselves. Being a believer in Christ, I don't have to tell you, is difficult and challenging, and it's getting tougher and tougher every year, especially in this society and culture in which we live. There is a constant pressure on us, and especially on young people like you, to walk away from Christ and His Word. It certainly isn't in style anymore. It certainly isn't in vogue. There is a constant pressure. God speaks about being a believer in this world always in terms of challenge. He uses words like war, fighting. He uses ideas of getting dressed for a battle, beating your body to keep it in shape, the image of an antelope being chased by a wild lion. This is the life in this world for a believer. It's tough. If you think being a Christian is going to be a bed of roses and a cakewalk, you don't know the Christian faith. It's difficult, and it always will be, right to the grave. But God would have us understand that we play a role in this as His dear children, of helping and encouraging and edifying others, whether it's in our family or even beyond the walls of our home. You maybe don't think of your faith this way, but your fellow believers in Christ need you. I remember years ago a pastor at a pastor's conference, an elderly pastor got up. We were talking about how do we encourage delinquent members to come back to church. And he said, one of the things I like to do is chew them out and to let them know that when they don't go to church, they're hurting their congregation. They're hurting their fellow believers by not being there. Because one of the ways that God keeps us prepared and in this wonderful, beautiful faith in Christ is through fellow Christians encouraging and comforting and edifying each other. I remember watching a pastor speaking to a group of children years ago, and he had a little boy come up, and he gave him a little number two lead pencil, and he said, I want you to break this over your knee, and the kid did it real quick, probably a seven-year-old, snapped it on his knee. And then he handed him a stack of about 12 pencils rubber-banded together, and he goes, now try to break this. And the kid just stood there over and over trying to break that pile, and he couldn't. And the point he was making is this: every time that we stand up together in church and confess the Apostles' Creed, there's a strengthening of each other with that. We edify each other. We build each other up in Christ. We help each other stay ready for the day that He's coming back to take us to that eternal home that we're all looking forward to. We just sang about Christ being the sure foundation, the chief cornerstone of the church. And each one of us, by God's grace, through the work of the Holy Spirit, has been built like a brick into the wall of that church. But it's not just for our own edification we've been put in there. It's to help support the other bricks around us as well. As a chaplain, I get to hear stories about and to see and to interact with a lot of the students when they come to me with questions about, I'm trying to help so-and-so stay in the faith. I'm trying to talk to a relative or a friend. What can I do? What can I say? What passages can I use? That's wonderful to see. That's the mortar in the church that helps keep those bricks in the edifice of God's holy people. So who are you going to someday go and thank for helping you stay in the faith? And who's going to come up to you in heaven someday to thank you? Amen.